Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Good to see you all.
Welcome along to our Health Outside the System with Dr. Ferrant and the one and only Rodney Hyde. Fantastic. Well, Rodney, would you like to kick things off by
I
introducing our
would.
wonderful Sarah? And I will hide myself and I'll just be here looking in the background, making sure that everything's okay. So have a lovely evening, everyone.
Thanks, Alia.
Oh, we've got Christine Smith, and she's going to be on in the next webinar. Look, it's
That's right,
wonderful to have
yes.
you all, everyone. And this has been a much anticipated event. Those that have been listening to Real Talk with me will know Sarah. Oh, my goodness, what a lovely lady. Her and her husband have been in the health business since 1990, teaching people how to restore their health, how to do their health outside the system. She doesn't just talk about it. She lives it. And they're just this very special couple who I've had the pleasure of meeting, not just online, but in person. And when you meet people in person, it's so very special. And this is a couple who haven't had like a perfect run at life, but they've worked very hard to succeed and achieve and are very inspirational. And Sarah's knowledge is encyclopedic. And that means, though, that when you just drop a question, she won't necessarily just run off an answer because she'll actually think about it, ruminate on it, research it. So that's why we're a bit careful with the questions. We've got some questions that have been pre-prepared, come in from listeners, and we'll be going to them. But Sarah, thank you for coming. Handing over to you.
Thank you, Rodney. And hello to all of our listeners. It has been a long time in the making getting to this date today where I get to share with you, which I'm very grateful for the opportunity. But what I kind of as a disclaimer, if I could start here, is that I'm talking on behalf of myself. My thoughts are my own. This is for educational purposes only. I'm not speaking on behalf of the chiropractic profession or the college or the New Zealand Chiropractic Association. So I'm just here representing myself, sharing with you my journey and how I have lived outside of the system for pretty much the last 33 years, along with my husband. We've been health professionals for 37 years. And what do I mean by outside the system? Well, outside the system is having no medication. So if we look at the allopathic approach, it's living outside of that system. So we have not had any medications. And by that, I mean over-the-counter, prescribed or scheduled. And by scheduled, I mean vaccines. And we've also raised our children under this or with this understanding of your body has everything it needs to express health, and therefore we will say no to drugs. And our children are now 22, 20, and 18. And I remember, Rodney, when they were first coming into the world, my husband and I were like, you know what, if we can get them to 18 and with no medications, over-the-counter prescribed, scheduled, no homeopathics or anything like that, then we would have done a great job combining that with our home education. Then it would be a great recipe for them going forward in their life. So when we moved to New Zealand, we were already in private practice in Australia, and we are Australians. Hope I've probably got a little bit of a Kiwi accent now, but I'm sure I probably kept a lot of my Australian accent. But anyway, we moved to New Zealand in 2008, and we set up Vital Wellbeing. And Vital Wellbeing, our tagline for that is optimal health for generations. Because what we noticed when we were set up practice, and as we had done in Australia, we were actually taking care of generations of family. So the largest one we had was four generations. So we were seeing the great grandparents, the grandparents, the parents, and the children. Most commonly is three generations. And so for when we started Vital Wellbeing, underneath that, or atop that, I should say, were three pillars. We established three pillars. And those three pillars are move, eat, think. And it's those three pillars that I'd like to go through tonight with our listeners. And I want to start with think. Because if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, we're just going to get more of the same. And what did Einstein say, Rodney, all those years ago? The
Yes,
definition
indeed.
of health is doing the same, or not health, sorry. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, which ultimately doesn't come. So New Zealand is in this health or this chronic health crisis. Now, the stats that I've been able to kind of glean together says that the country, 27% to 48% of the country is in chronic disease of some sort. And what we're doing, even if we just take the 27%, that's a massive amount of people. And those stats, I think, go back to 2018. So if you can add, or 2019, if you add all the challenges that we've been through for the last 5 years, then I would say that that stat's going to be a lot higher. So what we're doing is that we're teaching people to live with disease. We're teaching them to manage that disease. We're normalizing health challenges for people. In other words, as you get older, you are going to have this, or more likely create this. And then we're teaching people to manage it all with, drugs. And we've got to ask the question, well, is that really working? Teaching people to manage health. Teaching people to manage their disease with drugs? Or are we going to look at, well, actually, what is health and how do we promote that versus the medications and the drug side? So for us, what we've done, and like I was saying at the beginning, I would just like to share my journey of what I have found to be a successful recipe for us as a family and being able to help successfully other families over the decades that I've been educating in this vein. So when we with our focus has always been on the nerve system. What is your nerve system's role in your health? And then the next part of that is understanding what health is. Like, how is health defined? And we'll get into that in a little bit. And then looking at what those three pillars are, the importance of movement, the importance of the food that we put into the body, and the importance of how we think. But in order for us to kind of venture out of the system that we were in, I was raised in the allopathic approach to health. But in order for me to move out of that, I had to break, and so did my husband, these illusions that we have about what health is. So I went digging and I wanted to find out what would be the answer to that. And so I started with looking at what illusions actually are. And I'm a bit of a word nerd. Maybe there's some, people out there in their audience that, a bit of a word nerd as well. And I love breaking down words. So the first thing that we have to look at then is that what is an illusion? And an illusion is, even if we look at that word backwards, Rodney, it's a condition of you being ill. And then you've got to ask, well, what is the illusion? And by definition, an illusion is a state of being intellectually deceived. And then the next question would be, well, how are we deceived? And we're deceived by finding the easiest way to look at something. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what's the easiest way to look at something? And the easiest way to look at something is through an indoctrinated system. And if you can't see it, then you don't know that something else exists. It's like if we were going to go to a magic show, Rodney, in Las Vegas, and we were going to sit there and we were going to look at the magician and they were going to do a card trick or they were going to have the person disappear. We are not going to see their sleight of hand. We are actually going to find the easiest way to look at something. But intellectually, then we deceive ourselves by what we are looking at. Now, if this person takes the time to show us what the card trick is, or show us what the disappearing person trick is, then they do it again. We will see it each time. So the question then becomes, where are our indoctrinated systems? And they're everywhere, aren't they? There's indoctrinated systems in religion, there's indoctrinated systems in finance, there's indoctrinated systems in education, there's indoctrinated systems in health. So for children then to understand what health is, it starts in the house. That's where the indoctrination begins, because children learn about health through the actions and the actions that the parent takes and the observations that they make of those actions. And then as they grow older, they get influenced then by the mother, the father, the preacher, the teacher, the caregiver, the TV, the radio, the print media, and now social media. So 9 areas that they have impacting them through indoctrinated systems about what health is. So for me growing up, I said to you that I was in the allopathic approach to health. And when I mean the allopathic approach, pathic, back in 2010, I kind of made it my mission to organize the world's health information into these bite-sized pieces. And whilst we're not going to go through that tonight, because that's quite an in-depth discussion, I broke down and I looked and I systemized, okay, let's look at this allopathic approach. So what does pathic actually mean? And pathic means remaining passive. And that's exactly what we do when we enter into that system. We remain passive. So we go to someone to get something, to take something away. And that someone we invariably deem to be more intelligent than ourselves in understanding our body. And what we are then given is a prescription, and we take it to the pharmacy to get that fulfilled, and we're provided with a treatment. And treatment, in Latin, when we break that word down, treat means to deal with, and ment means mind. So you are given a treatment, a medication, to create this illusion that what you have is no longer there. So in other words, we kind of chop ourselves off at the neck and our mind is saying it's not there, but our body is left on fire. Let me give you an analogy of that. So let's say that your house is on fire, and our listeners that have heard us on the radio have heard us, you know, heard me share this before, but it's a great analogy. Let's say that your house is on fire and you have a direct link to the fire brigade. And your house goes on fire. They get the message that your house is on fire. They jump in the truck and then they race to your house. They jump out of the truck. They find where the alarm is. And then they cut the wires to the alarm. And then they jump back in the truck and they race off, leaving your house burning. So when we take something for something, we're creating this illusion that it's gone, which then can create more insult to injury, and as a result of that, the messages aren't flowing through the nerve system from the body to the brain and the brain to the body, and therefore we're creating more stress within our system, and as a result of that, we just soldier on. So because so many people define health by how they feel. You know, I actually did a test of this, Rodney. It's my own, I'm not a researcher. I'm a kind of more of a philosopher type person asking questions and trying to find those answers. And when we were living on the Sunshine Coast, I went to the local Sunshine Coast Plaza with a pen and paper in my hand. And I just asked anyone that walked past, what's health? What is health? What is health? And anyway, I had the, you know, top responses. I went home, and because I love systems, I organized all of that and then found out that the top 3 responses were having no pain, having no signs, and having no symptoms. That's what people defined as health. And then once you are in that allopathic approach and you no longer feel that, because those, you would say, pain and no signs and no symptoms is a feeling state, if I put my psychology hat on now, that if you don't feel that, therefore you deem yourself to be healthy. But you're not actually healthy. Yes. You're actually still unhealthy in terms of the stress that is created in the body. What's happened is that you just don't notice it anymore. So people then just soldier on and then create more insult to injury. When our grandparents, Rodney, when they were getting, you know, their time to pass, you know, they were getting closer to death, they would live for the last 15 months of their life with some kind of health challenge. Now, grandparents are living for, they're living longer than what they did for the prior generation. However, they're living for 15 years with some kind of chronic health challenge. So something's not right with the system. And just recently, actually, it wasn't recently. Back in 2009, the CDC in America actually brought out a report, and they said for children born after from 2000 over 2000, that they are less likely to live as long as their parents will. Like horrible stats. You know, we are in this chronic, health crisis. So
And
most people.
we're taking more drugs than we've ever taken.
We are, and so exactly. So most people are managing their health by ignoring it, kind of like that hopium, maybe the burning house scenario. I'll go and take some pills. The average person in their lifetime will have 40,000 pills.
No.
40,000 pills. And 14,000 of that 40,000 is medicated. So medicated prescribed pills that they will have, 40,000, way too many. And that's a burning house. Now you add, let's say that the average, pill might be, $5. If you add, if you multiply that, you've got a down payment for a house or a boat or a paying off a mortgage. You've got disposable income, all because you've decided to change how you were looking at your health. And then the third way, Rodney, is through surgery. So the first one was, managing health through ignoring it, taking pills, or doing surgery. Now, their surgery has about a 60% success rate, 40% of which people will still have health challenges post that surgery. Or the way to manage their health is people are going to find another way. And so for us, we come from that neurological perspective. Your nerve system, your body is smart. And we're not educated on that. We're not educated that your body is, in fact, incredible and exceptionally smart. So let's look at it like this. When you were born, two cells come together. And they come together through vibrations, right? Vibrationally moving together. They then form you. And then there's more vibrations. And then at 3 weeks, we have differentiation occurring and we form what's called the notochord. Now, the notochord is your central nerve system, your brain, and your spinal column, your spinal cord, sorry. And everything else comes off of that. Your body then knows that your central nervous system, which is your lifeline, right? It's your lifeline. Anyone that's had a spinal injury knows it's a lifeline. And your body knew that knows that it's a lifeline. So it decides in utero, as you're growing, it decides to encase it in bone. So we're going to form the cranium, and now we're going to form the vertebral column. But I'm not going to, the innate intelligence of your body is not going to say, I'm going to form a vertebral column that's just a straight rod. No, it's going to form little bits of bones with spacing in between so that you can move forward, backwards, left, right, sideways. You can move. And that becomes your armor. So your body recognizes that this is one of the most important things for your body is your central nervous system. And then out of all of those little holes through the vertebrae comes more nerves, which is called your peripheral nervous system. Peripheral being everything outside of that. So your body then is exceptionally intelligent. This is the same intelligence coursing across your nerve system that knows how to digest your food. It knows how to beat your heart. It knows how to respond to stimuli. It knows how to heal a cut. It knows how to blink your eyes, to breathe, to have your taste buds, to have your immune system build inside. It's this incredible innate intelligence that not a lot of credit is given to what we have. Because to be healthy is normal. To be unhealthy is not normal. So really, you are this self-healing, self-regulating, self-regenerating, and self-maintaining organism that is constantly adapting to your environment. So to be healthy, then it's about your body's ability to adapt readily and appropriately to stresses. to stresses within your environment. So your nerve system senses your world. Your skin is like a layer of protection from the outside world to the inside world. And your nerve system is sensing what's happening outside to what's happening inside and then appropriately regulating whatever that may be. So the stresses that your body is adapting to is, well, we say three T's, right? So the three T's are thoughts, trauma, and toxins. Or said another way, it's our pillars. So move, eat, think. So under the banner of move, then we could look at physical stresses on the body. Big physical stresses would be things like a car accident or a sporting injury or the birth process. And then we have these smaller physical insults on our body. So these big ones can kill you, but these smaller ones add up over time. They're not going to kill you today. They're not going to kill you tomorrow, but the over time, they will have a massive impact on your body's ability to constantly express health. So these ones would be like tech neck. Who's got the children that, you know, that hang their head as they're looking at their phone, right? Their heads are meant to be upright, but they're bending over here. So right at this level here is like the relay center. So in other words, you know, they're doing that with their bending over with their heads. And that then puts an awful amount of pressure right on the top of the what's called the brainstem. And that's our relay center for digestion, respiration, elimination. So we're hindering that over time, and it's putting an enormous amount of stress on the body. Other things would be sleeping. How do you sleep? Do you sleep on your stomach? What about living in the corporate world? Do you sit for long periods of time? Or do you have a stand, like I have a standing desk? Do you have a standing desk, or are you sitting? So posture becomes important. It's kind of like posture is that window to the soul of the inside, where the spine and the cranium give you some answers as to what's going on inside. And then we've got the eat. Of course, you know, we've got conventional foods to conventional, I mean, by supermarket store-bought foods that are, you know, laced with chemicals. And then we've got organic food, or there's fast foods, or there's products that you have in your house that are chemical-laced cleaning products. And then we've got all the products that we put on our skin, which is, you know, chemical-laced, you know, beauty products that people may use. And then there's alcohol and smoking and pollution. So that's all, you know, part of the you know, ingestion or the toxins under that stress. And then we have the think part of it, or the thought part of it. And all thoughts are energy. So the impact of, you know, financial stress, or maybe there's a new sibling that's brought into the world, or maybe there's a divorce or a death or relationship breakdown in some way. So all of those are going to have stresses on our body that challenge our ability to adapt and therefore express, you know, express ourselves. So the I guess the question, the logical next question would be, well, what are those stresses? What are they doing to your body? So they cause irritation and they cause interference to your nerve system, which disrupts your body's ability to adapt and to function optimally. So you may notice, Rodney, things like restricted movement. You may notice digestive upsets. You may notice depressed thoughts or inflammation or tightness of the muscles or fear and anxiety, any of that, and all and sundry, because of this irritation and interference that we have to those communication channels.
And you accept that. And as you get older, you say, well, I'm just getting old. And if it gets really bad, I'll take myself to the doctor. And you can't imagine going to the doctor and not getting a prescription, because if you didn't get a prescription, it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And then they give you a prescription and you get these pills. And typically now you're taking these pills forever because they say the condition's chronic. And then you go into an old people's home and everyone's sitting around comparing their pills and taking 15 pills at a sitting.
And that's what I was saying, is that they start to normalize
yes.
this normalize as you get older. You know, the average person, as they get older, not only is 40,000 of your lifetime, but when you're getting to, you know, the grandparents' age or older, maybe the third generation, you're looking at around 17 pills that you are having a day. You know, it's a massive amount, and it's just numbing and numbing and numbing. I'm surprised that the body can still continue to, you know, function to a degree. But the emphasis then is on this, you know, the neurological interference and the irritation that it's doing. The emphasis then is on making sure that you're taking care of your nerve system. Now, for me, again, if I'm sharing my journey here, which I am, it was a game changer for me when I went and saw a chiropractor back in the early 1990s. It was a game changer. I never went back into the system, even though I'd been out of it, but I was using the alternative system. But when I went there, just so many things fell into place for me, so much so that I decided to become one. So I encourage people to go find, you know, a chiropractor that can help you look at the neurological connections that you have in your body from a move, eat, think perspective. Okay, and you know, chiropractic is the largest healthcare profession in the world, licensed and regulated, using no drugs or surgery, nothing. So it's the so allopathic, obviously there's the medicine one, licensed, regulated, they deal in drugs. Where over here, we deal with no drugs. We just deal with the innate intelligence of the body. Same education too, Rodney. So we have the same education as a medical
Yes.
doctor. And I think in some colleges we have more anatomy and physiology than they do, where they go into you know, perhaps what's wrong with the body. We're going to provide a pill for every ill. We go into what's right with the body. Where's the interference occurring? How can we help unlock that?
What happens if you break a leg or have a car accident?
Well, and we haven't got into that because we've got the three, you know, the three health
Yes.
approaches. So I'm not saying that, you know, and I don't want people to interpret this in the wrong way either. The medical profession is so important. The allopathic approach is very important. The alternative approach is very important. And so too is the alternate, which is the third one that I had created. All of them are important because they all exist. If you're looking at emergency care, like those macro traumas that we spoke about, like the car accidents and the sporting injuries, then you would go into that allopathic
Got
approach.
it.
But you can still use these other approaches as well. It's not a one, it is a many.
Got it.
So I'll share this study with you. This study was done in the 1999 by Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's a fascinating study. There was 700,000 participants, and it went across 7 years. So Blue Cross Blue Shield, I don't know if you know, but they are a large insurance company in the US. And this study was done out of Illinois, and that was where their largest, I guess, the largest office was in Illinois. And it was a 7 year study, 700,000 participants.
Wow.
And so what they did was they made the chiropractor the head, the first point of call for all people. So people, if they had created some kind of health challenge, they weren't going to the allopathic approach, they were going to the chiropractor. And interestingly, these are the results that they found, that hospitalization decreased by 60%. Outpatient surgeries and procedures decreased by 85%. Pharmaceutical use decreased by 56%. And C-sections were zero, where they were usually around 22%. The reason why I share that is because that study alone, and there's been many more of that attesting to taking care of your nerve system, it's a true testament to, one, the power of the body, you know, this innateness that we have inside of us. You know, the second one is the attests to the power of your nerve system. And when you have clear communication across those lines of the master communication system, which is that central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system combined, then anything is possible. You know, we have changes. So obviously that think one, the most important one is looking at that think, because we have to change how we think about health and where it comes from. So the second one I want to go through, and I said I was going to go through those three pillars. The next one is eat. So if we're going to look at the nerve system, we've also got to make sure that we're providing great food for the nerve system. You have to nourish the cells of your body. And we know then that the food that we have, the food that we eat today out of a supermarket is so devoid of nutrients. And I think this is, flogged, many times on different social media channels. There's just no nutrients in the soil. And the bottom line for us is that if there's no nutrients in the soil, then it's definitely not going to be in your food. And we know that, there's herbicides and fungicides and pesticides and, glyphosates and every other thing that is sprayed on for to create more yield out of something, but it's not beneficial for the neurology of the body. And it's, obviously vital to make sure that you look at your diet to make sure that you can support your nerve system going forward. So for us, we have organic food. We are a 95, 98%, 95, 98% organic household. But I know that's not possible for all people. So if you, I would encourage you just to start at your farmer's market. Go find the local farmer, find your farmer's market, people that don't spray. They might not have the organic certification, but gee, they might take great care of their soil and really care about their gardening to make sure that their own family is taken care of and therefore they have a surplus for their community. So start at those places like your market and then build up to buy some things organic where you can and make food from scratch. People can follow along with us on our website at vital-wellbeing.com and you can see what we're eating. We very much eat like our grandparents, like I guess people would put a bowl around that like keto or paleo or something like that. But they eat very clean. If you can't make it in your kitchen, then don't purchase it. That's our point. And then what we found, Rodney, was more and more people coming into the practice were depleted in their nutrients and sorry, in like vitamins and minerals, those important things that are going to help with keeping the body functioning. And so we decided to bring out our own line after we had been using colloidal minerals and magnesium and Camo-Camo for many years. And so our colloidal minerals, there's 72 different minerals in there, but it's all in liquid form. And liquid form means that you can assimilate it faster within the body. You don't have to break down all of these, parts of tablets or capsules or anything like that. It's all in liquid form. And they're organic minerals, so we extract them from 20,000, they come from 20,000-year-old peat. And we go 15 meters down into the earth and we do a cold extraction to preserve the goodness. And then we provide that to the people of now of New Zealand and around the world as well. And it's a game changer because, as we know, it's been really hot here, right? So we're sweating outside and we're not replenishing electrolytes. Well, these minerals are natural electrolytes. So we can be out in the garden and we can be sweating and we're drinking water and we think that we are going to be hydrating ourselves. And yes, we're hydrating ourselves, but we're not replenishing ourselves with electrolytes. And in fact, drinking the water can deplete the body more of electrolytes. So we've got to make sure that we're replacing them. And these colloidal minerals are certainly act as a natural electrolyte. They also increase the energy, they detox the body, regulate muscle and organ activity, bone growth and development. There are 72 minerals that are going to be beneficial for the body. And then we had our magnesium. There's three ways to use magnesium: topically, ingest, or as a salt substitute. And then you have magnesium, of course, is a very busy mineral. It's important for nerve transmission and bone and teeth formulation, and it calms the nerves and mental health and depression, etc. And then we have Camo-Camo. Now, I know we did a thing on Camo-Camo together, and Camo-Camo, most people think that Camo-Camo comes from a score. Sorry, most people think that the ascorbic acid that they sorry, most people don't know that the ascorbic acid that they are having in the form of their vitamin C is actually coming, usually coming from genetically modified corn. And so we wanted to make sure that the people of New Zealand were getting something that's very clean. And so we started to bring in Camu Camu. Now, Camu Camu has the highest level of vitamin C of any fruit in the world. And, over and above the acai berry as well. And it is from Peru and it's from this little shrub. And we support local organic farmers over there, small farmers, and they cultivate for us, they air dry it, and then they powder it down, and that's how we bring it into New Zealand. And it's so potent, you do not need a lot. It's like one and a half of those. So I suggest with anyone that is looking to start with neurological health, they can go anywhere to get, Camu Camu magnesium or colloidal minerals, or they can go to our website. It doesn't matter, but that is going to be exceptionally helpful for the neurology of the body, just with those three items alone. And of course, Camu Camu is important for the nerve transmission, the immune system, bones, cartilage, tendons, teeth and gums, and your skin. And then the third one I want to go to is movement. So I want people to think of movement like a nutrient for the body. So just like we have we breathe oxygen and we drink water. I want people to see that movement is just another nutrient for your system. So every single thing in the body moves, everything. We are energy. So if we look at the hierarchy of the body, and we go from systems to organs to tissues to cells, to organelles, to molecules, to subatomic particles, to vibrations, to energy, and then to light. Everything in the body is moving. So movement is going to be vitally important for people to do. So the essence of life actually is movement and energy. So movement is going to be important for many things like CSF flow. So people might not know what CSF flow is. So CSF stands for cerebral spinal fluid. Now that is the fluid that encases around your brain and it encases around your spinal column, and it's going to deliver nutrients and it's going to remove toxins from the body. And so that it needs to be pumped. Now, whilst we can pump it ourselves, when we're moving, we get extra pumping, and it's moving and it's delivering the nutrients to our brain and our spinal cord, and it's taking the toxins away. And then movement, of course, is also really important for stability and coordination and muscle strength and reduced stress and detoxing the body. So movement is going to be really important. I don't mind if people are couch potatoes, just get up and walk around the lounge room or walk around the
Walk
block
to the
or
fridge.
walk to, walk to the fridge. Probably further than that, Rodney. Walk to your local park. Well, just get moving because it's so vitally important for your body. And our nerves move too. Lots of people don't realize that because we don't necessarily feel that inside or notice it, but every single nerve in the body sends about sorry, every neuron sends about 1,000 electrochemicals pulses. And then if we have we look at the billions of cells that we have in the body, now all of a sudden we're looking at trillions of cells, trillions of messages that are being spread around the body every single second. So we want to make sure that we are nourishing our body, we are looking from a move, eat, think perspective, and therefore being able to stay outside of the system because we truly start to understand that we are self-healing, self-regulating, self-regenerating, and self-maintaining organisms that are constantly adapting to our environment. And I think if we come from that perspective and we understand that and we see the innate intelligence that we have inside of us, then you start to optimize not only your life, but you start to optimize the generations that are coming after you too.
Nice. Is this a good time to do a few questions that have been sent in?
I think so. Yeah, let's go for
Here's one from Beth.
it. Okay.
Now we've got questions. One lot of questions were long and of a policy nature, and I'm sorry we're not quite in the right forum for that, but thank you for them. We read them most carefully. Here's one from Beth. Hi, Sarah. How do you support the immune system after a chemical exposure? In this case, hydrofluoric acid. and stop it from going into overdrive without the use of steroids.
Okay. So I did do some work on this one, Beth, and thank you very much for your question. So we're looking at then like a poisoning, I guess, within the body, and it's going to have an effect on your calcium and on your magnesium and on your potassium. So calcium and magnesium are going to become exceptionally depleted within your body. So increasing your calcium, increasing your magnesium, but also not just your calcium and magnesium, want to increase all of your minerals because all of the minerals are going to have an effect on that. But magnesium is going to be very important for you. You may also want to get, I don't know if you've done this already, Beth, or not, but getting a blood cell count is going to be important, and maybe even a C-reactive protein to see how much inflammation that you actually have in your body. But if you can get a blood test that actually will measure your calcium and your magnesium and maybe your potassium levels, then that's going to give you a great indication as to where you can at least start. And diet, of course, is going to be crucial, making sure that you're not having inflammatory foods, which are going to be your wheats and your dairies, your refined sugars, your alcohol, etc. So I'm not too, it was limited information that I got, but it's also going to have an impact on your lipids. So the and that's going to have a big impact on your nerves as well, because your lipids are important for the development and function of your nerves. So looking at the fats and the level of fats that you have in your diet, the quality of fats that you have in your diet, would be a good going forward. Again, this is educational purposes. I'm giving you as much as I can without much more of a health history, of course, Beth. So hopefully that helps you,
There you go.
you know.
Thank you, Beth. Here's one from Bill. What would you recommend is the best way to naturally support the immune system in adults and children as we head into the colder seasons?
Well, at the beginning when I was speaking about think and speaking about the nerve system, so making sure the nerve system is clear of that interference and irritation so that it can adapt to the stresses that it undertakes. That would be one of the first ones, Bill, that I would start. The second one is going to be diet. Diet's going to be important. So increasing your vitamin C, like camo camo or something that you may look at, preferably not from genetically modified corn, where you're getting your vitamin C from. I would do that. Rest when needed. I think that's important. I think sometimes we don't take the time to actually rest. And in a child too, Bill, if the child is not wanting to eat and they're just wanting to rest and they're just sipping on water, then that's great. Just allow them to do that. Children will not starve themselves. I think they can go for like 21 days
Wow.
before any other challenges come up. But suffice to say that the diet with the vitamin C, making sure that if you can find your local chiropractor, getting yourselves adjusted and looking at that neurological interference, the camu camu, the rest. Sneezing is an interesting one. I just wanted to share this with you, Bill, because Rodney and I did speak about this, and I wrote an article called now I've forgotten what it was. Sneezing or blowing your nose and sneezing. You can have a look on the website under the blog. But we spoke about sneezing and how important it is to actually allow yourself to sneeze and to not blow the nose, because a sneeze will travel at about 164 kilometers, whereas when you sneeze, you're traveling at about 64 kilometers. So there's a 100 kilometer difference in terms of the speed at your body's ability to get something out of the system. When you blow your nose, not only does it go forward, but it goes backwards into the choanae of the brain, and then we create more challenges inside the body, because the body innately is going, I want to get it out. So, sneeze away. Don't block, don't block a sneeze. Vitamin D, getting outside, getting in the sunshine is going to be important, and making sure that we're not putting, slapping everything on top of our skin to block that. Just make sure that you are sensibly in the sun, the hours up till 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then going inside and then going back outside at around 2:30 or 3. That's what we used to do with our kids, pretty much every day. And then what else did I write? Bone broths are going to be really important, and probiotics. Again, we have so much of our immune system is in our gut, and making sure that we're taking care of our gut is going to be important going forward as well. So I hope that
There
helps.
you go, Bill. One from Sue. What part does diet play in non-communicable diseases and longevity?
Everything. If we take, I would imagine Sue's thinking about like cancers and diabetes and stuff like that. And diabetes is, one of the top three in the chronic illnesses that we have here in New Zealand. So diet is everything. And I would just go back to the three-legged stool. So I said in the beginning that we would go through the move, eat, think, and it's like a three-legged stool. If we take one of those legs out, the stool's going to collapse. If we take two of those legs out, the stool's still going to collapse. So you've got to look at all three. You've got to look at the thinking aspect of it. You've got to look at the move and the think, or said another way, the thoughts, the trauma, and the toxins associated with that. So interestingly, my dad was a diabetic. And he was,
Type one.
insulin dependent diabetic. And what the challenge with it is that when you are, and again, this goes back to the beginning, Rodney, when I was talking about we teach people how to manage their disease, we teach people how to manage that chronic illness. And so what they would say to dad was, here you go, here, just have this injection, whenever you feel like you need it, but morning and night. And he would just go out and party and drink whatever he wanted and do whatever he wanted. And then he would come and just, shoot himself up, with the insulin. So that didn't address it. And he just thought that he could eat anything and drink anything. So there was no sense of self-responsibility in that. Being taught to manage the disease as opposed to, no, let's look at that three-legged stool and let's really see how diet is going to play such an important part in those non-communicable diseases, as Sue was saying. So yes, diet is everything. So absolutely.
Now, this is tough for me. I'm going to do my best with these big words, more
All
than 4 letters long, from Vanessa.
right.
My question, Sarah, is about people with chronic inflammation, such as rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and
Psoriatic.
psoriatic,
Sorry, Eddie. Yep.
ankylosing
Ankylosing
spondylitis caused by autoimmune diseases. Can
spondylitis.
these chronic diseases be reduced or eliminated by using other systems than the current prescription of medicines that we have today?
Again, I would go back to, I will always go back to that three-legged stool, because it's just held us so well in terms of, in great stead in terms of people's health. So again, the rheumatoid arthritis is going to affect the joints. It's the autoimmune, it's mainly going to affect like hands and wrists and things, and you get swelling and pain. Then there's the psoriatic arthritis, which has more to do with the psoriasis. And the attacking that we have there, and you get the stiffness and the swelling and the pain, etc. And then the ankylosing spondylitis is an arthritis that typically affects the spine. So you're going to get inflammation through the spinal joints, and an inability to move. And it usually hits the lower spinal ones and the pelvis area. But that any kind of autoimmune is a an indication that your body is out of balance. And it, in your immune system is out of balance. So, if we look at three different levels of the immune system, we've got natural immunity, we've got humoral immunity, and then we've got the, allergenic system as well. So one of those systems is going to be out of whack. And the most important thing is to look at where the stress is occurring. So I'll give you an example, Vanessa, in this. One of my sister-in-laws, she had created Graves. So Graves is an autoimmune. It's also called hypothyroidism. And she was told that she had to have her thyroid out and that for the rest of her life she would be on thyroxine. And she came to us with deep distress. You know, the side of her eyebrows had changed and her eyes were enlarged. You know, exophthalmosis is what that's called. And we used the three-legged stool analogy with her. And what you know predominantly came up was the stress that she was under with her work. She was not only under that, but she was also under a large amount of emotional stress. It wasn't that long prior that she had lost her dad. Chiropractic adjustments, of course, were going to help support her immune, her nerve system, which supports your, which is all part master communicating system, which innervates the nerve, the immune system. And we looked at decreasing anti and you know the inflammatory foods, so that is the you know like I said before, the wheats, the dairies, the refined sugars, etc., out of her diet, increasing the fats for her hormones, and she looked at acupuncture as well. And within I think it was about 6 weeks we had a
No.
50% reduction in her, and within 12 months there were zero markers. Now, so she had, there was nothing there. So she had, the interesting part was that she had, she has had relapses, but the relapses are not to the degree to what she had initially. And she knows now how to manage that stress. So she knows that when her body is out of balance, she knows that when it's out of sync, she knows when she's pushed it too far in order to then be able to get, bring her back to that centered place of balance. So it would be the same, I guess, Vanessa, for you is looking at that three-legged stool. Where am I out of balance? Which part of that three-legged stool is creating a massive amount of stress? And interestingly, you know, when I looked at my sister-in-law and we were looking at her thyroid emotionally is about muddled instability, and that's exactly what she was going through. You know, she was looking at different places where she was living. She just lost her dad. She was very young at the time, so she was all over the shop. So it made sense that her body was giving her these signs. You know, increased goiter, exophthalmosis, the sides of her eyebrows had decreased. All of these were signs, or these little, I call them little whispers that your body is giving you, and we can choose to attune and listen to those whispers, or we can choose to suppress and not listen. So I hope that story's helped,
It's
Vanessa,
wonderful.
anyway.
And she still got her thyroid. And she was a young woman, could have lost it. Oh my
She was
goodness.
only at the time, she was maybe 25 at the time.
No. So she'd be the next all those years every day.
She'd be the next statistic for 40,000.
Yes. I fear, ladies and gentlemen, we've run out of time.
We have.
But Sarah, I love you so much.
Oh, thanks, Rodney.
No, seriously, and Randall, and the work that you do, and then just the way you come in and you explain health, you do such a amazing job. And I think all of the your customers, clients, patients, what do you call them?
Practice members.
Practice members are very, very lucky people. And of course, you have them as a family.
Yes.
It must be very rewarding.
It is. It's so, you know, it's so lovely to help people like just totally look at something in a completely different way. And it is like that magician who's, I'm not going to tell you what the card trick is. And now you can't, you know, you can't unsee it now. And you know, I think that, you know, my mission is to, and my vision is to share this incredible innate intelligence that we live with inside of us with the people of New Zealand, because so many people have lost that understanding. We have lost our ability to look inside of ourselves and say to ourselves, one, trust, and two, we have everything we require in order to express health. But
And the
we're so
body.
indoctrinated in different systems that we lose that way.
We love your body and realize that our health system is perverted and corrupted by billions of dollars spent on drugs.
Yeah.
Totally. And it must be that a lot of people have woken up through the COVID years.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think more people are, attuning to a different way of looking at health. Because I mean, it shows tonight how many people we had registered here.
And everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
I wonder if Ali is going to come back in or whether I will close it. Oh, there
There
she
she
goes.
is.
Ali, you trickster. You were like the magician behind the curtain.
What a treat. That was so good, Sarah. Thank you. What an
Oh, you're
amazing
welcome.
Session. I can see why everybody in the chat is so grateful. It was really, really helpful, insightful, and empowering. So
but I think it's interesting, you know, how JFK, Robert F. K. Jr. is doing the whole MAHA, and so many countries have got on board of that, and let's make America healthy again. But why don't we, what about our own backyard? 27% of the people with chronic health illnesses, like, that's just not, for me, that's not okay. And what's that then doing to the next generation of people when they're being taught that this indoctrinated system is meant to give you health? And it's just not. It's meant to numb us down, desensitize us, make us stupid, and walk around like zombies, and rather than being in life. I would like to make the world healthy again.
Sarah, I've got one last question.
Oh yeah,
the chat group's going nuts. They love you. Would you do another webinar with us?
Yes, of course.
There we
Of
go,
course.
people. We've got something to look forward to. Over to you, Alia.
Thank you all so much. And I think that, Rodney, you have another a part three in your series, don't you, for
Yes,
the winter series?
Christine Smith, who's been on tonight.
She's
She is
fantastic.
She is Mrs. Homeschooling New Zealand and around the world. Wonderful, wonderful lady. And we're going to do a webinar with her about homeschooling your children and grandchildren. Such a wonderful woman, full of insight, but what a wonderful thing to do for your kids. And of course, Sarah is a very accomplished homeschooler, being Superwoman.
Yes,
Oh,
fabulous. So keep an eye on that on your inbox, everybody, for the invite for that one, and you can sign up and be registered. That'd be really great to see you there at the next one. So in the meantime, stay healthy.
There you
Take responsibility for your own health. Let people know about this webinar. Will be going up on the app and the website in the next day or so. So share it within your circles and spread this idea, these ideas, and
that
this
would be great.
different way of thinking. So,
and thank you everyone for the chat. It's been wonderful, but we sort of had a lot to get through, so we just pushed through.
Yeah, it
thank
was really
you.
good. Jam-packed. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for
Great.
Being here. Grateful.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.